Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're a little bit late on our guest. Alan Wright was supposed to visit us. I don't know if he had an emergency or not, but this happens from time to time, so we're just going to kind of roll in, and hopefully Alan or somebody else will pipe in here in a little while. If listeners are listening, feel free to call in. We'll be glad to listen to you. The number is on BBS's website. It's an 800 number, I do believe, so feel free to call in. Anyway, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What has been going on with Paranormal Truth and Reality? Well, we've got an excellent guest lineup we've been working on for the next month and a half to 2 months, actually. We are getting some old guests back from David Ullman and Barry Strom and Joe Vitale and several other people, too. Some new faces, actually, that some of you might know. I'm not going to release a couple of those names, but yes, in fact, they have been on television. So make sure that you actually keep tuning in because it's going to be a very wonderful, wonderful show. Losing my voice here, I apologize. Other news, we just ended our first two rounds, and with filming actually for Generation Truth. We were at Posttown Elementary, we were at Ohio State Reformatory in Waverly with Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown. We went back to Posttown with a very young team, Team Rat, which we have now separated from, and we did a couple other locations actually in the mix, St. Joseph's Hospital. We went back to Posttown for the convention to show you some of the behind the scenes, and we're hoping to cut a few deals here in a little while with some very, very interesting people. I apologize. I've got something coming in here, and I'm losing my voice. But Donald, if you're actually piping in there, Alan just messaged me and said, hey, give him a ring, and he will be glad to pipe right on in. So he's there right now. But I encourage you to actually watch the documentary coming out in 2020. There's some exciting things on the roster for new teams that are coming out. It's been an interesting journey. We're actually going to be venturing into Waverly with Interface Death here in a little while. Now, that's going to be a kind of joint venture for me to shadow along, and I'm going to have Joel Myers, my partner, and Jay Pierce, one of my co-creators, actually doing their own thing, or maybe just Jay and a couple of team members on his own, who is now in control of RAT, just going off on their own so that they can do their own thing while I'm actually working with Interface Death a little bit to get some good video for the documentary. Going to be a fun thing. We are going to be returning to – well, not returning to, but going to Hale's Bar Dam as well. I apologize. I'm doing two things at once here. We are going to be going to Hale's Bar Dam with Jeffrey Hale. Jeffrey Hale is a wonderful person. If you guys are actually in Tennessee, check out Hale's Bar Dam. I'm going to message over something here. I apologize, not my regular dough, but I'm working on a couple of things here, and I got a messenger coming up asking a couple of questions. Let's get into some interesting subject content. Throughout the paranormal recently, we have been seeing a lot of different things come up. In fact, some of that is the controversial evidence of a few sightings recently, believe it or not, in the UFO area. A pyramid-type triangular shape is working. It looks like we might be able to pipe in Alan Wright here in a little while. Donald's picked him up, so when we do, we'll start the show. But keep an eye out on some of the local news because you're going to see that a little bit. And here we go, I think. Are you with me, Alan?
Yes, I'm with you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Paranormal Truth and Reality has Mr. Alan Wright. Mr. Alan Wright is an empath and an author, and I do believe you just came out with a book recently, didn't you?
Yes, a couple of months ago. Around February it came out.
Yeah, well, let's start with talking about the new book, and then we'll get into some of your wonderful stories. I know you could talk my leg off for the whole show.
Well, yeah, I've got pretty much 3 hours of talk, I guess. Well, want to ask questions first, or want me to about the book? Yeah, or?
Tell me a little bit about the book, and then I'll probably jump in and ask a couple of questions about it as you're going. But it's better for you to just kind of introduce what it's about and tell us all about it.
Okay, well, my first book, Through the Veil and Back, was pretty much like a, I don't know what you call it, just a small stories of what happened in my life. And on this My Destination for the Truth, I kind of pick up where that one left off. All my books are kind of a compilation of stories from the first book. But anyway, My Destination for the Truth, I think all of us are looking for the truth in one way or another. And that's what I'm doing. Even as a paranormal, you know, we are still out there looking for the truth. And through whatever we do, I went on a couple, astral projections in my time. And, anyway, my new book is, first off, I kind of describe what a passive medium is. And then I talk about, the spirits. And, I explain that, when I went to see my grandfather in this one astral projection, I don't know how long I was there. I thought I was there for approximately 6 to 7 hours, but actually I think I was there a lot longer. It could have been a week, it could have been a month, could have been longer. I really don't know. I know when I came back in my own time frame. But I was told a lot of things when I went there, a lot of things that I could not handle at the time. But as I get older, I get stronger in my abilities, and I also get stronger in my understandings. And these bits of information come to me from that time when I had that astral projection. But anyway, in the second chapter there, I explain that the spirits there are of different ages, just like we are here. And there's explanations for it and the reasons why, but I won't get into that right now. I talk a little bit about animal spirits in this book. I talk about where did we come from. I talk a little bit, the title of the chapter is Spirits Going and Coming, but that's just spirits coming is the ones coming to receive their new bodies when they're born as babies. The spirits gone are the ones that has died and has left their bodies here. And I talk about that. Then I go into a few stories. I talk about a haunted church in North Phoenix that I had an opportunity to find out about it. And I went there as a teenager with a group of my friends, and it wasn't really a church. It was a burned out church with a small basement and stairs leading up to the ground floor. And it was all burned out. We didn't even see anything there. It turned into a big old party, you know how kids are, teenagers. And I didn't see anything, but I went back later, with another friend of mine. And we did indeed see something at that church, and I tell about it in the book. I talk about also in this book about how some people are ghost magnets. You might not, you know, consider yourself a ghost magnet, but it all depends. My wife and I, we have spirits around us all the time, and that's because we are sensitives. And the ghosts know that. They know that they can get to us as far as letting us know what they want to tell somebody or whatever. But anyway, that's in the book too.
Well, that makes sense if you think about it. I know that for a long time, I had a lot of negative things that were around me. And I think it was probably just myself. You know, when you live in a negative environment and you're working in a negative environment, then negative things tend to show up. But I was easily a magnet for the negative things to show up. And they did on a regular basis. And I changed that around to the positive. And every now and then I still get the easiest way to explain it is a ghost or something unusual that pops in and out. But I'd hate to see. You guys get used to it as mediums, but when you're learning, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of a medium that's full-blown because it's a lot to take in.
I was telling my wife, when her and I got married, I knew I was a sensitive and an empath, and, you know, and she didn't know she was, and it wasn't until later on that she found out that she too is a sensitive and an empath, and, you know, and a lot of things that was going on in her life was because of that, and she didn't really realize what was causing it until she got with me, and I kind of explained to her, like she says the spirits around her poke at her, and, you know, and that's because they want to get her attention. That's what it is. And she didn't realize what it was at first. And it was kind of freaking her out. But anyway, about four years ago, I had my right eye started funny. I couldn't see very well. Things were getting fuzzy and stuff. And I went to an eye specialist, and he said I had glaucoma in that eye, and it's kind of rare for just glaucoma to be in one eye. And anyway, I've kind of had to deal with it a little bit, but it's no big deal because actually what I picked up from it, it's like another ability. Because of it, I can look up into the clouds at a distance, and I can tell whether those clouds have energy in them or not. And I can almost tell whether they're going to have a storm or not. I would say by 80%. So I kind of picked up an ability there.
Interesting.
Anyway, I tell my wife, that's my third eye.
Let me ask you, because you mentioned that a little bit, being an empath, this is always something I've been curious on because everybody talks about how storms and weather can stir things up or so forth. Do you find that every now and then when you have, you know, a massive thunderstorm or a big weather condition that you're around or in, do you find that things tend to come around you and you can feel it more often?
I know there was, yes. To answer your question, yes, it is, and it's the same with my wife. She's kind of leery of a storm. She don't like them, and I don't know. She kind of has bad feelings when storm comes her way, but she's learned to be able to cope with it a little bit better than what she used to be able to. But yes, to answer your question, yes.
That's interesting. Well, that would be probably why people have built that theory then, because, you know, if you have a gift and the gift becomes, I hate to say this as a term because I don't like to use it, but let's say your gift has become proven. And if you're an investigator and you're with an empath and they find out something they shouldn't know, to us it becomes proven. You know, we see you do things that we can't explain. So that's the easiest way to say it. Then you build the theory that that thunderstorms and weather can elevate the paranormal. I know there's a lot of scientific things that people talk about it and so forth. I haven't really seen much of a difference when I'm out on investigations between good weather and bad weather, but that also could be a lot of the locations. When you go to commercial locations, things are either active or they're not. It's a little bit different than residential.
That's for sure. Well, and actually, I in the book also, I say there's a time for everything. I kind of go into that there is a time for everything. The universe is pretty much perfect. We have to live in that universe, and we have to learn how to live in it and deal with it. And there's a time for birth. There's a time for death. There's a time for everything. And I kind of go into that a little bit. And, you know, back when I was a teenager also, of course, I had my first car and whatever. And you know, you start dating and everything. And usually there's a little lover's lane or something that, you know, you can go as a teenager and make out with your girlfriend or whatever. And there was one in Northern Phoenix. They called it the Desert Scenic Drive. Well, back then it didn't even have a name. You kind of had to, when you came to it, you had to be careful because there was no signs there. It was out in the desert. But later on they named it Desert Scenic Drive. I guess it got so much activity that, you know, they had to put a name on the place. But I was there one night with my girlfriend, and it actually was kind of spooky because we actually saw a couple shadow people darting from tree to tree out there in the desert trees. And for me, it was kind of unusual because I had never seen anything like that out in the open before. I did, and I don't know the reason for it. I don't know why they would be there, but we had seen it. There was two of them. And then on the last chapter of the book, I talk a little bit about shadow people. And I go into what they are and stuff like that. But anyway, that's pretty much the balance of the book. My wife says that my fourth book, this book here, was my best one. But she said that with my third book, too. So.
Well, it's always good to write one better than the next one, as opposed to writing one that's not nearly as good as the next one. So that's.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't tell me that, you know. Well, that book was lousy, you know.
You know, you brought up a very interesting thing that I think readers will love to read. That's a shadow people is a very controversial thing throughout the paranormal. It's fairly new compared to a lot of things. I would say within the past 30 to 40 years it's cropped up as opposed to some of the older things.
Yes.
And it's became a really debatable subject with people, but the one thing that's noticeable is it remains in the paranormal community and people speak about it all the time. I myself have actually had a few experiences with what you would call shadow people. not really as graphic as some people talk about with being right in your room standing beside you, but more the ongoing lookers, I guess you could say. We had a woods behind us for about a year and a half, 2 years, somewhere around there. And you could look right out there in a period at certain periods. I actually videotaped it one time and tried to debunk it and couldn't do that. And you could see a line of people that were just kind of standing out there that shouldn't be there, staring right back in at you. But if you went out there and went to the woods, there's nobody out there.
I mean, you see what you see. And if it looks like a person, and it also looks like a shadow. I mean, what else can you call it? It's not really a ghost. I mean, you can't. So I guess some of them you can. That's where, but they have a dark tinge, or whatever. But anyway, most of them are you can't see through, and you call them shadow people, and they come in all different sizes. I've seen shadow people that's only looks like they're about 3 foot tall, but I've heard of some being as high as 7 feet tall. So I don't know what the deal is on it. I really don't know. You know, ghosts, we can say they're spirits of people, but are shadow people spirits of people too? I don't know. I don't know. Were they on this earth before humans were? I really don't know that either, but I know they're there. I've seen them. I can't deny what I've seen. So, you know, it might be controversial in the paranormal field, but with me, it's nothing to be controversial about it. You see what you see.
Well, I think the big controversy is the discussion of what they are, because psychologically speaking, you can explain it. Scientifically speaking, you can't explain it. Well, that depends a little bit, too. There have been several scientists that have came out and talked about quantum theory and the different dimensions. And theoretically speaking, if a dimension is at a variable, let's just say slightly faster than us, and it interferes with our dimension, then you would see what would seem like a shadow or an echo of a person, but they may not even be there, if that makes sense. We're seeing them, but they're interacting in their own time and space, and we're just getting a glimpse. there's a lot of different explanations out there. It's hard to catch one that makes total sense, as all of them make a little sense.
Well, when I had that one astral projection, if you want to call it, when I went to hell, I had a spirit call me to hell. You know, being a passive medium, I cannot call spirits out, but they can call me out. And as an astral projection, I went to hell, and when I was there, I felt that there was something behind me, and I kind of glanced behind me, and there was about three or four of these shadow people behind me. So, but, you know, I don't think maybe they all come from hell. I guess they could be evil if they wanted to be, but I've seen them here on Earth. I've seen them in hell. I don't know. At least at the place I call hell, it would be hell if I died and went there, that's for sure. It was a pretty bad place. There was no fire and brimstone, though. It was all feelings like hatred and all the negative feelings you could have, fear and all this was in the air. You could almost breathe it. It was really thick. And the poor souls that were there, the spirits that were there, had to deal with that, you know, day in and day out for as long as they're there. And you were talking about quantum theories and stuff like that. Well, you know, when I went and saw my grandfather and I was with him, and I was told then that there's different levels of heaven and there's different levels of hell. Now, could that be different? You know, I don't know. What did you call them? Different, like Earth is one plane another plane.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the easiest way to explain it. It'd be dimensional planes, subplanes, lines. There's a lot of different terminologies for them. But theoretically, there could be billions of these things that are traveling at the exact same time and space that we are. Time is a relevant thing that we as people have defined so that we can explain how we grow, how we age, how we die, and how things grow and age and fall apart. When you're dealing with science and you're dealing with quantum physics, that time becomes irrelevant because everything flows at the same exact motion we do, but there are billions of different lines within this flow. And as they get closer and come back and forth, sometimes they interact, according to most theories. Some scientists believe that's what we're seeing a lot of times when we're looking at ghosts, residual energy, shadow people, things along those lines. Now, theoretically, that could go further. I mean, you are an empath, and if that's the case, you would think that certain people would be more sensitive to the fact that these things can come close and go far away and so forth, so you're able to feel or see things that the average person can't.
Exactly, well, my wife used to work at Walmart, and for an empath, that's the most that's one job you would not want to want, you know. It's just, you know, you have all these different feelings and emotions and everything, and all these people walking around the store, and some of them are sick or whatever, and, you know, you can pick up on that stuff, too, and you can actually become sick or whatever. And she used to come home every night with pains and stuff, and she would, before she even got to the store the next morning, she would have a pain in her side, which was caused by that And she's retired now, so. But yeah, I was told, well, I knew because I was there, they have no time there. They don't deal with time. They don't mess with time. There's no clocks or, you know, watches. There's no time there. So if they don't have any time, you know, 1,000 years to us could be just like a minute to them, or, you know, because it's eternity. There's no death there. You don't hear about death. Yeah. So how do you deal with something like that? You know, when you're in this realm here, where you're dealing with death all the time, you know, and all this other stuff, you know, we start looking at our clocks and stuff as little kids, you know. We are born terminal, and we keep kind of a gauge at that by the way we watch our time. But up there, or I say up there, but there is a different thing completely. There's just no time at all. And somebody asked me, well, how did you learn all this stuff if, you know, you were only there 6 hours? Well, I could have been there a year of their time, and they could have brought me back to my time here, you know. To them, that would have been an easy accomplishment, I think. But
I had a conversation quite recently, actually, yesterday, with a Dr. Randall that deals in science and quantum physics, and he's delving into the paranormal. We actually discussed that a little bit. Theoretically, as you're speaking, time is something that we've created so that we can create a table to define how we age, how we live, and how we die. But if you're looking into a quantum level, he broke it down to me relatively simply. He said, think of it this way. Even though you age, what would happen if we removed the factor of time? What we defined it as, if we took down every clock, if we took down every instrument, and all we did was pay attention. Now, would that mean when you're sitting there that you would still count the days? Theoretically, you wouldn't be counting days anymore because days don't exist.
Sure.
So he said it's very logical to think that if all of these things do exist, that it could be plausible on one dimensional plane that years, months, even centuries could travel both faster and slower depending on each situation. Yeah. So, you know, one place you go 1 second could mean 200 years. One place you go 1 second could mean 1 second, if that makes sense.
Well, that's true. And that's the only way you can explain it, really. But then you throw in eternity and, you know, then you have that to deal with, you know. So you have these things, entities that's probably thousands of years old, you know, and they have intelligences that's far beyond us, you know. You throw in that little equation, you know, and then it can really get complicated.
Well, I guess it's because I have such a vast mind, but I would even simplify that a little bit. You know, they could be 1,000 years old, and 1,000 years old to them be 1 year old to us. So 15,000 years of living, something could be 15 years. I mean, it's a teenager.
Exactly.
You know, that blows your mind if you think about it. 15,000 years, you've seen everything, and you're still a teenager.
What was I going to say? I was going to say also that I learned as I was there that there's a pre-existence. From what I understood was everything is eternal. Not in human form, but in our spirit form. It's eternal. You know, scientists tell you that you cannot destroy energy. You can only change it. And pretty much that's what our spirits are. It's energy. It cannot be destroyed, and it lives on. And if that's the case, then, you know, if something is eternal, then there's no beginning, and there's no ending. So I was told there is a pre-existence. We all lived in that pre-existence, and basically we were preparing ourselves to come to this earth for this earthly life. And, you know, they didn't come right out and tell me, but I think the reason why we're here is some, like a place to strengthen our spirit, if that can be done. I was told that, when I went on that astral projection, I was told how the earth, I was thinking how the earth was so beautiful from space, you know. But down there, it was so ugly with the wars and the murders and rapes and everything else that went on. And it almost interrupted me, the voice that came into my head. It said, the earth is fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. Now, that is a very astounding sentence if you want to stop and think about it for a minute. For one thing, the earth was created. And for another thing, for whatever purpose, the earth is fulfilling that purpose. And that
there are a lot of beliefs that actually revolve around that. The Buddhist belief still believes to a certain point that that this is a waypoint, and that you, depending on how you live your life, you repeat that waypoint, going back through the birth canal, coming back out, having a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance before you elevate to the next level. Even the Viking religion, believe it or not, had Highgard, Midgard, and Lowgard, and Midgard was basically Earth. That is where you were challenged. If you were honored, if you did your job, if you fought well, then you advanced to Highgard. If not, then you went to Lowgard. You had a second chance somewhere along the line to get to Midgard.
There's religions out there that actually teach that, and I was told that, you know. And, you know, in this astral projection also, I was thinking about my family, you know, what they were going to do. I had actually seen my own death in this projection. And I was wondering what my family would do without me, and, you know, how were they going to make it, you know, without me. And that voice came to me there. And it said, because of the choices and the things that you did while you were on this earth, it is the reason that you're here where you're at right now. And it also said, because your family has to go through the same things that you went through, they have to overcome hardships and stumbling blocks and everything else in order to make their spirit stronger so that they too can return like you did, you know? And so, you know, there's a purpose for it. We might not like what we see on earth. We might not like what things are happening, but there's a purpose for it from what I understand. And, you know, I didn't really believe in, extraterrestrials and stuff like that when I was younger, you know, but I believe in them now. I believe they are watching the earth. They're gauging us for whatever reason. They're not going to allow us to destroy the earth. They're going to come way before then, and they're going to stop whatever we're going to do to destroy the earth. The earth is there for a purpose. It kind of looks out of place in the, you know, solar system, but actually, it might have been placed there by them. I don't know. All I know is it's there for a reason, and it's fulfilling its purpose.
We are a unique creation. We have found several planets that are similar to us, and sure, they could carry intelligent life within the past 10 or 20 years that are billions of light years away from us now, but none of them are the same as Earth.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If you had to compute the odds of the Earth happening, it would be astronomical. But it did happen. And I think it had a little bit of help, you know. I think the Earth was seeded with not only plants, but with animals. Adam and Eve was in the Bible, the first creation of humans. But I don't want to disagree with that, but I think they were probably the first first modern humans, you know. The other creations, the human beings before them were probably not, well, they weren't modern. We know that humans have been around for many thousands of years. Archaeologists will tell you that. There's buildings and things out there on the Earth that's been there for 12, 15,000 years.
Uh-huh.
So 6,000 years in the Bible, it just doesn't fit. But it does.
Dr. Lee, a fairly famous archaeologist that works with the Smithsonian, has actually released several papers that discusses that a little bit. According to his findings, by looking at the different skulls in archaeology and the different rates and so forth of the way humans existed, he actually stated if you look at the timelines, at one point there were different subspecies of humanity all living together at once. It's not quite like we believe where you advance from an ape all the way up to a human. Some of those levels theoretically were living at the exact same time before the Ice Age began.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, it is plausible that there are different species, and of course, a lot of those species have died out, and now we have the human race, and who knows? I mean, there's still maybe a couple running around somewhere. We just don't know it.
still carrying in clubs.
Yeah. In fact, I just had that discussion with a Bigfoot enthusiast that's an adventurer, and he believes that Bigfoot may be one of the lost lost races that fit into all of that with Dr. Lee's study. Now, I'm not one that believes that because we have had no proof of Bigfoot as of yet, so I kind of sway away from it, but it's still pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, they say a lot of times they have Bigfoot sightings at the same time and in the same areas that they have UFO sightings, too. That might have something to do with it. I don't know. But I'm not into this Bigfoot stuff, and I've never seen one myself.
Me and my partner on a project, and hopefully we can get the co-creator in on that. We found a location that was mentioned to us. I do believe it was Indiana or so forth, where she claims to have in this woods all UFOs, Bigfoot, ghost, all this other stuff, and I'd like to go there and just sit there for about 3 or 4 days because I'm curious. Just for the heck of it, see what you run into. It's kind of like Skinwalker Ranch. It had all those claims. Hey, well, if this woods has got all those claims, somebody should check it out.
you know, as I got older, my abilities become stronger, and my open-mindedness has become wider and more open. You cannot see the things that I've seen, done the things that I've seen, and have a closed mind, you know? If these people have seen Bigfoot, then okay, you know, I can deal with that. I don't have a problem with it just because I haven't seen it yet, you know? But like you said, there hasn't been any proof of it yet. But in a lot of things that I've been talking about tonight, there hasn't been any proof of it either. So, when I was a kid, I couldn't tell people about the things that I saw and stuff like that because I would have been teased right out of school and stuff. And when I became old enough to go to school, I had to just be quiet. I didn't join in any conversations about the paranormal. I didn't tell any stories or anything like that. I just stayed out of it, you know, because kids can be really mean, you know. And I just,
absolutely.
I just, and then when I got out of high school, that's a totally different system, you know. That I might have got beaten up in high school, but and when I started work, I worked in a retail management position. I was in that position for at different stores and stuff for 23 years. And, you know, when you're in management, you can't go around and start talking about ghost stories and stuff like that, you know, or the dream you had last night or something like that, you know. And so I've basically kept it on the inside for a long time. But as I got older, now I'm retired, I'm on the backside of my life. And pretty soon these things that I've seen before in visions or whatever, I'm going to be seeing again in spirit form, you know. And I really don't care what people think of me right now or talk about me, you know. I have a lot of close friends that didn't even know it. I have a guy who lives in Phoenix that I went to school with from second grade, and he didn't know any of this stuff. But he's really a supporter now. He's buying my books and everything, listening to the radio shows, and you know. And my own family, members of my own family, didn't even know it. And but I have a sister now that lives in Phoenix also. She supports me. She's been reading my books and stuff also. So, but like I said, I really don't care now anyway. But I have to tell the story. You know, it's one of those things. I cannot die and take those stories with me. I have to tell sure. those stories. And
well, I can understand that. Like that's a part of why. Yeah, I mean, I that's why I created Generation Truth. I've been doing the paranormal for 27 years. This will be my 28th year. And one of my last adventures is going out and telling the story. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
It's kind of like what you said there, you know, I'm not going to drop out until my story is told.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and, you know, I'm not in this for the money. I haven't made a dime yet off of my books. And, I've never got, of course, I'm getting rich off of these radio shows. But, you know, I haven't made a dime off of them. So I have no reason to, you know, lie or anything else. I'm telling the truth. Well, I saw all the experiences in my books happened, and I've had a lot of experiences. My wife and I, Lori, we lived in a haunted house. The apartment that we live in right now, we think has at least two spirits in it. They shut off our lights and turn them back on at will. Usually it's the front porch light or the back porch light. They started working the kitchen lights about a couple of weeks ago or so. but, you know, you learn to deal with that stuff. When you're in the paranormal, it happens to you all the time.
Yep, it does.
You know, and you're not even looking for it. When my wife and I got married, I was telling her some of the things that happened to me, and she says, well, you ought to write a book, you know. But I had no idea how to go about that, you know. I never wrote a book before or anything. And so anyway, I went to bed one night, and I had 250 Facebook friends. And I got up the next morning and had 5,000 friends. Now, how do you get that overnight? It has to be paranormal. And the reason why I say that is most of those people that I picked up as friends was in the paranormal field. There was mediums and ghost investigators and you name it. If they were in the paranormal, they were there. It was a whole community. And this one lady, I thought, well, how am I going to get my friends back, you know, my 250? And I decided it was almost an impossible thing, and I was going to have to deal with it, you know. So I decided to meet some more people and gain some more friends, you know, and do it that way. But in the course, this one lady, this one lady posted something in her page, and another lady wrote a comment. And come to find out, the lady that made the comment was owner of Stellium Books, and she was also a publisher. And so I contacted her in about 2 or 3 days after I gained the courage to, and I asked her if she took on new authors, and she said she did. And I asked her if she would take me on, and she said, well, send me a copy of a chapter of your book. So I did. I sent her the first chapter of my first book, Through the Veil and Back. And she wrote me back and said, yeah, I'll take you on. So, and that's how it started. And that was, 4 books ago, and I'm on my 5th right now. But, you know, like that 5,000 names on your Facebook page, that, to me, that's paranormal, you know, especially when the people in that is paranormal. And I've met a lot of good people, you know, a lot of good people that in the paranormal field.
And, it takes some weeding when you're looking through everybody. But yeah, I mean, there's the paranormal is a wonderful community. Once you get past all of the silly social media nonsense and all the other stuff that seems to happen, they're just delightful people. I think I've met some. Well, I learn something new every day. There's just a bunch of incredible people and some very good friends that I've met from it.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, like I told you, I have spirits around me every day. I know it. I never know when they want something. One time in, I was on this radio show, and it was from England, and they hosted the show. Was saying that he had a twin brother, and that the twin brother had died about a year or so ago, and the co-host said that he was having a hard time dealing with it, you know, his brother passing. And but anyway, we went on with the show. About halfway through the show, 3/4 of the way of the show, I felt something sit down beside me, and my wife did too. She was sitting beside me a little bit further over, and it was the spirit of his brother who had passed. And his brother's spirit was wanting me to tell him something, and so I had to interrupt the show. I said, excuse me, can I tell you something? And he said, sure. He was in the middle of the sentence almost. I said, well, your brother is here, and he wants me to tell you that he's with you, and he's with you all the time. And I said, he also wants me to tell you that you're probably going to see him in one of your dreams. And his brother nudged me. I almost feel it. And he said, more. I said, well, he's going to probably be in a couple of your dreams. And he nudged me again. And I said, well, he's probably going to be in several of your dreams. And the host says, well, that's right. I've dreamed about my brother several times, you know. And I said, well, that's your brother letting you know that he is okay. He's in a good place. And I said, he also wants me to tell you that when you die, when you pass over, he's going to be there waiting for you. And you could have heard a pin drop. There was about a minute of silence, and a minute of silence on radio times. I got death knell, you know. But it's true. It happened. It doesn't happen in all shows. Like I said, I can't call the spirits out at will, but it does happen, and it happened in that one show.
That's an amazing thing when it happens to people. You know, you mentioned something that I don't think a lot of people understand, and that's the same with myself and everybody. They assume because you're on radio or because you're writing a book or because you have a YouTube channel that you're getting fame and you're making money at it. You know, we don't make money at this. I've sunk, in the past 5 months, I've sunk $6,000 into a dream.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we don't make money at it. We're doing it out of passion because we want to tell a story, because we want to show people. That's a good percentage of the paranormal community. There's a handful that in between, they want the fame, they want the fortune and so forth. But that's not what it's all about. You know, it's about telling that story. A little bit of a brief pause here near the end of the show. You're listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We have Alan Wright, which is an author, and he just brought out his new book. We're going to have him tell you about that here in the last 5 minutes. A couple of news announcements. You're on BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States of America. If you're thinking about a podcast or a radio station or a digital broadcast, go with the best. Go with BBS. Donald is wonderful, and his brother does a very good job with him working on an excellent, excellent radio station. Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown is continuing to finish their third season. Their second season is out right now. Make sure that you watch that. And a little bit of a side note, make sure that when Posttown Elementary does their school events to talk about the haunted paranormal and do their tours and so forth, go up there. Daryl's a wonderful man. Angelina's got her own investigation team, Bad to the Bone Paranormal, that they'll be glad to show you around from time to time. And we pop in from time to time from Generation Truth to help out Daryl all the time. Posttown Elementary is a wonderful place. We've been trying to save it for quite a long period in time. They're great people, and it's a awesome haunted location. It always gives back to the community. Well, Alan, let's talk a little bit here in the last 5 or 10 minutes about your book, the name of your new book, where everybody can find it so that we can hopefully get you a few purchases.
Okay. The title of the book is My Destination for the Truth. And you can get it at amazon.com/author/WrightAlan. And if you go to that link, you'll go right into the where my books are at. You can also get them on Kindle. So that's one way. I also have a website, and that's Koala Widget. That's KOALA WEDGIT period or dot simplesite.com. That website there has the list of my books and different things, pictures and different radio shows I've been on and so forth. But I wanted to say one thing too, Ron. At the end of that one show in England when it ended, he got back with me later on that evening, and he wanted me to listen to a sound that they had picked up on their recording. He wanted me to see if I knew what it was, and he played it back for me, and to me it actually sounded like somebody exhaling. And I also, as I thought about it, it's almost like his brother was finally got that out. You know, he wanted his brother to know, and he finally got it out. And it's almost like a breath of relief, you know, type thing. I just wanted to throw that in there. But
that's generally the way a lot of EVPs work. I know people wonder from time to time how they work, and a lot of times it is something as simple as a breath or a whisper or a brief statement. And, you know, sometimes it is just, thank God somebody listened for a minute.
Yeah, really, for sure. You know, in the dedication of my new book, My Destination for the Truth, I put down, I would also like to dedicate this work to the spirits who have been there, gave me inspiration for this book to come forth, including the animal spirits that were with me as I wrote. And that's true. I've had pets that died that I thought quite a bit about over the years, and I can actually feel their spirits around me at times also. And they were with me when I wrote this book. I can testify to that. It's a good book. I mean, it's a paperback. It's not 300 pages long or anything like that, but it's a good book, and I put my heart and soul into it. So if you get it,
well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen, with Paranormal Truth and Reality. So make sure that you actually go to the websites. I will list those a little bit later. Alan, make sure you put them in your messenger, and I will link them up to my Facebook page, my Twitter page, and Paranormal Truth and Reality's website, which will be up on Monday. We're going out to do a whole revamp on Paranormal Truth and Reality's website. I will end this, outside of thanking Alan for coming in, obviously, with the same thing that we'd say every single week here at Paranormal Truth and Reality. As you're learning from an author today who is an empath and spent many, many years in the paranormal, truth is always that reality around you. Whether it be a ghost that wants to communicate or a human being, we should keep that empathy together all around to make sure that we understand that the paranormal is a vast community of wonderful people once you get to know them. We'll let you off of here. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.